Welcome to the Urban Farming Podcast. My name is Chris Late. I've been urban farming for about 2 years now, and we really here to get the notion of urban farming as a potential solution to food security on track. So please hit the subscribe button, like us on Facebook, and to send us what you would like to know and understand better about urban farming. Our guest this week is Lizette Grobler. Lizette is the founder of a very interesting online purchasing organization, or community if you want to. Welcome, Lizette.
Thank you, Chris. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. Lizette, tell us a bit about, before you tell us about yourself, course.community is an online shopping platform.
That's right.
And it actually started, the course, K-O-S, stands for Kom Ons Spaar.
Nee? That's right.
Yeah, let's save.
Let us save.
So you're saving your customers quite a lot of money, I assume.
Yes, we are. So I can briefly explain what we do and how it came about. It all started when I wanted to buy back in the supply chain. Okay. So as close as possible to the source. Okay. And to make it worth your while, you actually have to buy in bulk and then redistribute. Mm-hmm. So I got a couple of friends and neighbors and family members, and I took their orders and I started going and getting produce from everywhere. And soon people were asking, but can we tell our friends? And then I said, I thought about it. I didn't actually want to start a business, but then I said yes. And then it just spread like a wildfire. And yeah, so we saw that there was a need for fresh produce that is of a high quality and fresh and at an affordable price. And I can also then tell you how it became an official business. Yeah. Is one of my customers. Yeah. I saw this thing was growing, and I actually put a note out saying, I don't really want to start a business, so if there's anyone who can help me, please raise your hand. So one of my customers' husbands contacted me, and his name is Arby Kuhn, and he then told a friend of him about this concept, and the friend, his name is Louis Albertine, immediately said to him, okay, this is how we're going to do it.
Nice.
And then that was it, the start of course.community.
No, well, I can just tell you that I'm obviously one of the farmers that farms for course, but I'm also one of the customers.
Yeah.
And it is such a lovely thing every week to get your fresh stuff. And you can see there's a bit of love that went into it, because it wasn't just off the shelf. I mean, somebody went to source it. Somebody did quality checks already. There was packers. There was, delivery people. There's hub owners that rechecked the quality. And then you've got this wonderful system of getting the community to reply to you instantly. So if there's anything that's not right, there's a WhatsApp group that responds.
Right.
And so you've got this sort of inherent self-regulated environment.
Yes, 100%. You've summarized it very well. We are a community. And usually when you buy from a shop, and you're not satisfied, you're either upset and or you just leave it.
Yeah.
So it's never a pleasant experience. With us, let's say there is something wrong, maybe a little worm crept in somewhere or something like that.
Well, I think what unfortunately with fresh food, what happens is food sometimes damage in the delivery process.
Yes, or somewhere along the line. And we always say to people, just remember that fresh produce is not produced in a factory. It is not standardized, it's graded. So we try and supply, obviously, the best possible quality. But let's say something went wrong and you get home with your order and you see, oh, there's something wrong. No need to go back to a shop or to just, you know, throw your money down the drain.
Go to adapita.com.
Yes, no. If there's anything that's not satisfactory, you contact your hub owner, and that's our distribution points. That person is also a community member. And you just simply say, I was not satisfied with this item or that product, and you get a credit on your account. So we work with an honesty system because we are a community. We're not going to ask you to bring it back. We're not going to ask you to explain to us exactly what was wrong. And like you say, so that is self-regulatory. If let's say most people are not satisfied with one farmer's produce, we either going to get that farmer to get his quality right, or if that's not possible, then rather source from another farmer.
Now, I think if we look at, well, firstly, the reason why I've asked you to come and do this podcast with me is a question that we've got a lot lately is, okay, well, I'm keen on this urban farming thing. I've identified a place. I sort of understand what I'm going to do, whether it is putting up aquaponic setup or hydroponic setup or, you know, converting a bit of lawn for a market garden. There's a big concern about, but you know what? I can't eat all the spinach. What now? You know,
yeah, and especially spinach.
Yeah. So, and I had a conversation with Lizette at a recent farmers market. And Lizette has got a lot of skills in selling. You've been doing it for for a long time.
Yes,
just elaborate a bit. Tell us a bit more about Lizette and how did this the whole thing start?
Okay. When I was still at school, my father, who was a very educated man with many degrees, decided that he had enough of the corporate world. And he was going to start selling dried fruits and nuts and all sorts of snacks.
Yeah.
And that was in the early 90s, and markets were all the rage. On a weekend, if you wanted to go and do something, you went to a flea market.
Okay.
So he decided to put up some stalls at various flea markets and started selling the nuts and dried fruit. And of course, he wanted cheap labor, so his children had to help, of course.
Yeah.
But I just loved it from the first day. I just instinctively knew what to do to sell. We were talking before we started recording about the stack them high and let them fly.
Yeah.
You know, just... If you know how to sell, you can basically sell anything, and that goes for fresh produce as well. So throughout my studies, I did the flea market thing, made lots of money, believe it or not, started working, made less money. And then also I was a teacher and then moved to corporate training. And in the end, just knew I had to go back to selling and interacting with the customer, and specifically food. I love selling food. So yeah, so that's how I then got back into selling. Now at this stage, not market so much, but online, which is now, you know, in today's economic climate, a much more viable way to sell.
Well, and I think, you know, I've been privileged to work with you on a number of projects, you know, whether you are selling food at a farmer's market or whether you are selling the services of a hub to the community or whether you're selling the community solution, you know, at a trade show. It's exactly like you say, there's certain principles, you know, maybe, you know, integrity, honesty, some of those elements that I think is very important. Sales is not a sleazy thing. You don't get anything sold by, you know, bamboozling somebody into something, you know.
I actually always say I'm a very bad salesperson. I cannot sell just for the sake of selling.
Yeah, there needs to be a value add.
Yes, and there needs to be you need to fill a need. And sometimes people don't know what their need is. They think they need food, but what they actually need is health. They need education in terms of what to eat, how to eat, when to eat, which choices to make. Yeah. So by just educating, you actually creating a market for your product.
I want to underline that point. I think that is absolutely crucial. Your job is to make the customer aware of his or her need.
That's right.
Now, look, I mean, our channel here is about urban farming in South Africa, and you've got a very special relationship with a number of urban farmers or proximity farmers, if I can call it that, as well as bigger farmers, and then obviously your warehouse is at the Tshwane Fresh Fruit market. So the theme, is the urban farmer and how do I sell my stuff?
Yes.
What would you recommend to urban farmers?
I think there will be a natural progression in where you sell, how you sell. Obviously, when you start out and your first few tomatoes don't look as great or you pick them too early or too late or something, you might give them away to your friends and so on. And as you grow, you might see, well, now I've got enough to maybe barter with some other farmers, you know, for personal use and so on. But then I think the next step is to start selling, obviously. I think you should be clear, do you want to do this for your own consumption or do you want to actually sell and have an economic or a financial benefit from that? Just a quick story from when I started selling fruits and vegetables. There was one customer, a lady, who bought from me, and in that time, they put up a little tunnel at their house, urban, in the urban areas. And they started growing cucumbers, and they started supplying me.
Okay.
And then they realized this is what they want to do. So they sold their house, they bought a plot, and they put up more tunnels, and now they are cucumber farmers, and they're actually selling at the Pretoria market, Johannesburg market, and top quality. I still buy their products.
Well, that's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
I think that's just so important for aspiring urban farmers to understand that it's not a get rich quick scheme at by no means.
No.
It's a love of labor, and it's time. But there is exponential increment
there
potentially.
There is definitely potential to create an income from that. We were at bartering and then selling and.
Well, it's bartering and I think don't throw away bartering. That's very important. But when we then say, all right, selling, it's firstly to your immediate environment, your community, your neighbors, your restaurant down the line.
If you are starting to sell, you want to sell in your neighborhood. You don't want to waste money on transport,
yeah,
or even packaging, yeah, or anything like that. So if you can sell to neighbors, sell to your local spa down the road. We actually have a very good relationship with the spa owners because they are franchised. They are allowed to buy a certain percentage of their fruit and vegetables from local farmers. They don't have to get it from the DC. So go and see your local spa owner. That's really a good place to start. And then social media. These days, it's so easy. You can just go on social media. You can say, I'm selling X, Y, and Z. I'm either selling it from my premises, or I'll be at this location, or I supply to the spa. Go and get it there. So social media is really, it's actually such a powerful tool. And okay, that's a whole nother podcast on its own, how to use social media. But getting a foot in the door, I see with us now, people are starting to contact us because they see us on social media. And they say, we've seen you on social media. Won't you come to this fair or that exhibition, or something like that?
And sorry, but just within social media, is it Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
I would say Facebook and Instagram, if you're looking at the millennials, which is basically the people who is our target market, it sort of overlaps between Facebook and Instagram, although I must now confess we don't have an Instagram presence yet. So my children say Facebook is for old people, but at this stage we are actually selling to the old people. So, Facebook has been very good to us. We do paid ads on Facebook where you target a certain
profile.
And that works for us.
Sorry, but just other, you know, having a website, Google Ads, is those things that you think an urban farmer needs from the get-go or down the line?
I don't think so. These days, people are using Facebook like they use Google. So they'll go onto Facebook and look for you. I don't think you necessarily need a website. One thing I can warn against is every person trying to set up their own e-commerce site or their own online shop. The problem with that is managing it and managing orders and deliveries. And in the end, where you should be focused on your farming, you're actually just getting caught up in admin and deliveries and lots of other things. So, that's where we come in. And I'm not just saying that because we have a business who that acts as a platform for farmers, but because we've seen that it's a reality. The farmers and the other small businesses, they get so caught up in customer service and in deliveries and that they actually cannot focus on the actual business, which is the farming or the producing. So
but maybe, you know, I think that's very important is once you get to that level where you sort of now getting beyond your neighborhood, let's say it, you know, rather look at somebody that's been in the online platform environment for a longer time. I think that's a valuable tip, but maybe let's just go back a little bit to when you sort of still on the neighborhood side of things. Don't throw away WhatsApp. I mean, WhatsApp is a wonderful tool for, you know, organizing. You can remind your clients on a broadcast list or whatever means you want to lose a group. You know, WhatsApp group, there's pros and cons. But still, it does give that sense of, hey, it's trust that you're building.
Yes, it's community.
Know? Yeah.
So what you will typically do is post a photo of your produce and of you as a person. We've seen that people like people. They want to see the person. They don't want to see the lettuce or the spinach. They want to see the person with the lettuce and the spinach. And they want to know who they are buying from.
Mm.
With the millennials, it's very important. They want to know who the farmer is. They want to know where it is farmed. They want to know why I should buy this instead of going to my local supermarket and buying from them. So they're very interested in the story.
Okay,
Telling stories.
Telling stories, yeah. Because that is, I think, I've seen a wonderful little quote, and I can't remember who can be credited for the quote, but it basically says that people don't buy goods and services. They buy stories, experiences, and magic.
That's right, And they buy a feel-good. That's why farmers' markets are still very popular and actually you can have great success there because people want to know that they've supported you. They look you in the eye and they know you have actually planted this spinach and you've looked after it and you've harvested it and they support you.
No, I think that they are. And having someone potentially to go back to, and it's actually quite rewarding, you know, when you're at a farmer's market and to have a repeat customer, and he says, you know what, this was very nice. I want two of that. Or I didn't like this so much. I don't know. You know, and I think there's also with that, unfortunately, because of the wonderful marvels of modern technology, you don't get so much seasonal stuff. You can almost, I mean, you can buy oranges right through the year.
Yes.
But there is a lot of work that's coming through in terms of saying, you know, the benefit of buying fresh, buying local, buying seasonal. And I do think looking at some of the, you know, especially the Europeans is very good with having festivals around when certain types of produce is in season. I'm hoping that our farmers market will gravitate a little bit more to that, to say, you know, this is why you need to go to, because this is now the very best time to have cherries, for example, you know.
Yes. Obviously, because we are focused on the local farmers and the closer in proximity, the better. We do not sell imported fruit.
Yes.
Let's
interrupt that because that's such an important point. Is why did you feel supporting the local guys is such an important imperative in your business?
Well, being entrepreneurs ourselves, we know what it's like.
Need
to help each other. But the thing is, if you look at the economy of, let's say, a town, if you look at Europe, they shop very local. They do have imported things, but you have the local butcher, you have the local baker and the greengrocer. And usually the produce comes from the same village as far as possible. They spend their money there, and then that profit, as well as the labor, the remuneration for the labor, stays within that community and is then spent in the community again. So our research has shown that money gets turned around about 17 times in those European villages, which means that the money stays and wealth is created. In South Africa, if we look at our rural areas, money does not complete one cycle, which means that money earned by the people who live there is spent elsewhere. And that money is then, it flows out of that community, and the community gets poorer and poorer. And that's why we see so much poverty. So we want to keep money in communities. Mm. Now, I know we're doing it on a very small scale, but for instance, our hub owners, now let me just quickly explain what that is. When you make an online order on our online shop, you select a collection point. Now, we have approximately 100 of these collection points in Gauteng, so East Rand, West Rand, Johannesburg, Randburg, Pretoria, Centurion. And a portion of that money, a commission, stays with the hub owner. Obviously, we try and get the local farmers as well, and we try and source as much local resources as we can. And that's all our resources, not just the actual produce, but also human resources. We use our hub owners to do pieces of work for us. Like one will do running off reports and emailing them. Another person will do payroll. Another person will do orders. Another person will do the IT. Another person will update the website. One will do social media. So we also give them the opportunity to be involved in the business. So we are trying to keep everything as local as possible, because that is the recipe for creating wealth in communities.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. And I think that is really the way, you know, if one look at a massive economy like the Chinese economy, where did they come from, you know, versus the 1980s, for example. And it's not the big corporate organizations that, that brought that company there. It is really the small mom and pop shops and the fact that they could get community involvement. And that's great that you guys are doing that. I'm very, very proud of you on that. But let's look at all right, so I think it's important to know for aspiring urban farmers that, that you know, there is guys like Kos.community that will embrace you. We on next week's episode, we're going to talk a bit more around tips. You know, what do you expect from your farmers? But let's go back to, all right, we said barter, we said your neighborhood, we said then there's an online community, but let's explore a bit more around farmers markets.
Okay, farmers markets, I think, is still very popular because of some of the facts we mentioned earlier. Yeah. People like the idea of buying from a farmer, although I don't think...
No, sorry, what I wanted to say is the do's and don'ts.
The do's and don'ts of farmers markets.
Because I must just say, I've seen Lizette in action. I don't know. She says she's not a salesperson, but you know, she makes me. You know, I've got strawberries at home, and then that punnet of strawberries you're selling is just looking better. You know, so she's got some serious sales ammunition, and I think it runs in the family because one of her it's your youngest.
It's my middle child. My son.
He won the award at a recent trade show in Pretoria for the best stall,
man. Young entrepreneur.
Best young entrepreneur. Yes. Yeah. So, yes, guys, I mean, you're really getting the do's and don'ts here from one of the best in the game.
Thanks. You know what? If you are going to go to a farmer's market, the first thing I would say, like we said earlier, the stack their mind, let them fly. But I think, first of all, they're buying, like we said earlier as well, they're buying a person as well. Mm. So they want to know that you care about them, care about what you're selling, you're not just there to sell the items to make money. Mm. You need to educate the person who is buying. For instance, like you say, no, you've got strawberries, but then you buy more strawberries. You need to tell your customers, listen, this is the last strawberries for the season. Mm. Do you know that you can freeze them and use them for smoothies? Or if you want to cook jam, now's the time to buy because they're now at their cheapest. So you need to educate people in terms of what they can do with the fresh produce, the benefits of buying fresh, and what and how it can benefit their health. Also, buying your organic produce compared to buying commercial produce, which may be cheaper in the short run, but in the long run may not benefit your health as much. What I also do is, if someone's buying a lot of things, we just say, oh, well, what else do you want? I'm giving you something for free. Because basically that marginal cost of that extra item for you is basically zero, because you've got it there. Unless you know that you're going to be sold out in an hour's time, you might as well add value to your customer and make them feel good and then return next time.
And I think, you know, the farmer's market is one of those things where you never know, you know. I mean, one day you go there and you're all sold out at 8 o'clock. And the next time you go there and, you know, you haven't seen four people by 8 o'clock, you know. So I think, you know, you've got a lot of experience, and you actually said a very valuable thing, because I was telling you, oh, the spot I got on Los Angeles market was terrible. I was full in the sun, and all my product was limping by within 1 hour. Fortunately, I mean, one of the tricks I can maybe just share with the audience is that, you know, get ice. Try, you know, if you, a bucket of ice with your agri tray on top of that. That does tend to get it. Take water. Put your, you know, carrots or lettuce or whatever. Put it in the water. You know, just do, you know. Because it's but you know, in the end, it happens. It was such a hot day.
It was very hot. You know, I was actually concerned the day before because it was so hot. Yeah. So what I did is, now this is from years and years of experience of selling in Pretoria in December, January, February. It is too hot, actually, to sell things outside, unless you've got cooler boxes or something. But what I did then is I went the day before the market. And because it's still a new market, I could be picky. And so I walked around, I checked out all the spots, and I got a very, very nice shady spot. And I said to the organizer, okay, if I'm going to come tomorrow, I need this spot. Because the reality is, if you can't get a spot that's going to work for you, then rather don't go. Because you're going to waste all your product, and people are going to buy things that's been in the sun, and it's not going to last, and then they're not going to come back. So I also, sometimes I even push for inside. I'll say, I'll come, but I need to be inside. So be a little bit demanding. Organizers don't always know what your needs are. In this case, the market we're talking about, they actually looked at the layout. And they said, okay, it'll be nice if all the stalls are down here. But it's in the full sun. We'll educate them.
And I think that again, If maybe what is a average fee for to be able to exhibit at a farmer's market, or should you not consider paying to have a store?
I think you shouldn't consider paying too much. What I've seen lately is, and I like that idea, is that established venues or whoever, restaurants who want to attract customers, they actually set up a market for free, which I love. I love that idea, because you already have a lot of expenses just to be there. And also, of course, your time, the fuel, and because we work with lots of produce, in my case, I cannot do it alone. I need at least 2-3 other people. So I like the free markets, of course. Then I know a lot of markets, they may charge you 100 rand, which I think is still fair. But I've also been to markets where they charge, and this was 10 years ago, between 400 and 600 rand a day. And I don't think that is...
And I mean, another model that listeners might, come over is where, when it's gaining in popularity, is sort of a cashless market. And then obviously the host has got an understanding of your sales and takes a portion of that. And to me, that's also quite
fair. That can also
work.
At least you're not going home empty-handed.
Not going home empty-handed, and there's a very strong incentive for the host to make sure that his exhibitors or his stalls is making money, So,
yes.
Let's then maybe look at the sort of last and probably biggest and, in my experience, most difficult selling environment, and that is to sell to market agents at 5 o'clock in the morning.
It's not that difficult. I just quickly want to jump back to the market, the farmers market. What we've seen in the last, since I started with markets, which was more than 20 years ago, people all carried cash. Now they don't carry cash. Yeah. They assume you will have a card facility.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So whether it's SnapScan, we bank with FNB, so we use FNB Geo Payments, which is a very easy method of payment, but then your customer has to be with FNB. And then, of course, you've got a range of options of these portable little card machines, and I can't name any names now, but... we got ours for
$5.99,
and that's it. That's all you need.
Mm.
And if you can take cards, even if you add the transaction fee on top of your selling price, people will pay it. They won't mind. It's usually about 3%.
I think and I think that's very important. Be there, be yourself. Mm. Sometimes. It's hot. You didn't get the spot you wanted. Mm. You're sort of irritated. You get that out of your system.
You have to be there. Enjoy it.
Look, I mean, my image on a market is, look, at Kortbroek and Valleys and, it's, you want to give that bit of experience. Yes. But be professional, like you say. Have the swipe card machine there. Yes. Have a story to tell,
and your story, and have some pamphlets, or business cards, and if people say, "Where can we get hold of you again?" Make sure that you give them something in their hand.
I can actually use the example, and I actually want to invite them to come to the show. But there was this wonderful young man and his girlfriend that exhibited, they basically sell stuff to make microgreens with, Two Brothers Farming. And the way the guy just sort of, he just enjoyed every little interaction. And I thought, that man's got the right, and he was professional, and he had his cards, and he had his display, and so on. And I think those things are greatly important. I think also look at often what I've found is that sometimes, especially when it's slow and the stall of the entrepreneurs start mingling with each other, hey, barter there.
Yes, do that a lot as well.
Barter with your stall sellers, farmers. But they're farmers, and I think that's also important. I mean, I don't know if the Landbouwweek guys had a chat to you. There's news people that want to talk and want to understand Bild how farmers are working.
Landbouwweek Blad. And another thing that I can recommend, it all depends on what you sell. If you're selling cheese, obviously, you can put it in a little bag and there you go. Oh, by the way, people don't like plastic bags at farmers' markets. So either paper or boxes, we'll speak about that next time.
Yeah.
But what I do is I have a trolley, like a shopping trolley.
That's a great thing.
that it's actually one that we use in our warehouse for packing.
Yeah.
So I take the trolley, I take the boxes that we have, and if someone starts looking around, I just give them the trolley with the box, and I say, if you want to buy something, just put it in the trolley, then you don't have to hold it. And then they fill up the trolley. And then we have our friends of ours, also some of our course hub owners. They come with their children to help us, and the children then push the trolley to the car, and the people love that idea of the family being involved, and they give them a tip, and the children just love that. Yeah, so it's actually just enjoy the day.
I think, and you know, obviously be sort of a little bit flexible with your pricing. It's never a great idea to undercut if there's another farmer doing the same thing. You know, just don't go into a price war. It just spirals downward. And try and differentiate if you want to, you know, have a higher price, justify it. I did an experiment recently and just said, listen, this is the stall's feature. You pay what you take, what you want, and pay what you want. You know, and it was quite. The customers didn't like it so much.
They don't know really.
What do you usually charge for it? And then they give a little bit more, a little bit less. You know, so it's never. Sometimes you'll get people that really wants to bargain. You know, there's some. In some cultures, that is important, but generally, it's more a sense of, and it's more experience people are really buying from you than anything
else. And what we do, there's an annual market we do on the West Rand. And what we do there is we sell until a certain time.
Okay.
And then from there on, we say any item, R5.
Oh, wow.
And then it just flies and then we're done. We're
and somehow you don't actually, well, you, then you've basically covered your
cost. Yes, you've covered, you've made your profit, everything. Okay. And then the last couple of things, you just let it go. Just as to bless someone else, you know.
Yeah.
And we also, a lot of times, whatever's left, we donate to charity or to needy families that we're aware of.
You must remember to donate to my compost heap, which
we also do that. We actually, in our business now, not at markets, but end of the week, one of our hub owners, he farms with rabbits.
Okay.
So we send
That's
all
nice.
The extra cabbage leaves and everything that's left over, we send to him. All chickens for the chickens.
Lizette, this was a fascinating thing. Is I think just within some other aspects of how to sell that you'd like to elaborate on.
So we actually now skipped over the how to sell to the market agents.
Oh yes.
So most of the fresh produce, the commercial fresh produce in South Africa, goes through one of the local municipality markets. So that's Johannesburg Market.
Yeah.
Which, according to my information, is the largest fresh produce market in the world.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
Not easy to shop there.
Yeah.
And then there's Pretoria, and then Springs. There's obviously Cape Town, Durban, and so on. Now, if you want to sell your produce on the market, and that's where basically all the large supermarkets by the spas, some of the Pick and Pays, the food lovers, the greengrocers, the restaurants, and so on. It's actually not that difficult. You approach a market agent. You might not know them, but you can contact me. I know all of them. And then I introduce you. And they usually, the times I have introduced some of the urban farmers we know, they're actually very interested because restaurants are, they actually want more and more specialized things like microgreens and edible flowers and things like that. So they're actually very keen to sell the urban farmers' products.
I think maybe what I just need to just to warn a prospective urban farmer wanting to go to the market, it is quite an intimidating experience.
Yes.
You know, if you're not used to it, you really see the invisible hand of Smith working. There's no, everything works and everything flows, and you know, but get out of the way of the forklift cars and the trolleys and the guys.
Yeah,
and
it's
a buzz of people, and it's early in the morning.
It's from four o'clock.
But again, I do think choose your agent wisely.
Yes. Integrity of the agent is very important, because how it works is, let's say you've grown carrots and now you've got 100 kilograms of carrots. Mm. To you, that's a lot. To the market agent, that's nothing. I mean, the commercial farmers come with super links full of carrots every day, and it's sold every day.
Mm.
So you need a market agent who's going to sell your product for what it is, that it is organic, and all the benefits that it has. So you can contact me. I know them. I'll direct you in the the right direction.
All right. No, well, and I'll put your details on the link.
Mm.
But that'll be great. Maybe before we wrap up, and it's been fascinating, and I've certainly learned quite a bit about, you know, what do you look for. And you know, I think also maybe two more points. One is, you know, don't be shy of using your social media and your WhatsApp groups or whatever. You know, people, you need that top of the mind awareness.
Yes.
Even if it is around the market, that market, build a relationship with that market agent.
That's
because especially in the fresh food environment, you know, it's a day-to-day thing. You know, people forget about you if you don't.
They do.
Remind them. So,
they really
so
do.
get that as a, and people don't take that. I mean, you've got this thing about 6 o'clock in the morning, you get a reminder, you've got 1 hour to put your,
that's it, you because know, then it's lunchtime for me already.
Well, for you. And I mean, initially,
we get up at three.
You know, and it's not, you know, in our household, that's not offensive. That's, oh, yes, you know, we better do it,
yes.
You know, so. I've got a little acronym that served me quite well with regards to, it's actually more to do probably with advertising than with selling, but I mean, it's around there, and it's an acronym called AIDA, A-I-D-A.
Mm.
And what it stands for is attract, you know, attract and then stimulate interest, create desire, and lead to action.
Yes.
And I think from my, yeah, if you maybe want to elaborate a little bit around that, how do you? I mean, many of it, what you said, techniques you use, the trolley, for example,
yes.
it just and create the desire. People want to buy the story.
You know? I would think that attract, obviously, you have to be there. That's number one, and the way you present your products. What I also do when we are at a market, I would there at the market take pictures and put it on our Facebook and say, we are here now. Come and get your. So the attract, and then interest is, for me, how I do that is just education. Have you tried this? This is a new peach that they've now.
And another thing, sorry, what I see with you, which I don't actually, well, I also do it a bit with microgreens and so on, but what I love about what you're doing is you chop up a apple or whatever and got little toothpicks and come taste, you know.
And so, when they taste it, because I make sure I've got very tasty things there, so if they taste it, they buy. And then also I tell them what I do with it. I would say, you know what? In the mornings, I just quickly make a fruit salad, or I freeze it beforehand, make a smoothie. And all of a sudden, people think of the options they have with this fruit, and then they buy. And then what's the D was desire?
Desire, create, you desire and then and take action or let it lead to action. In other words,
what I then would say at a market is, where do you usually buy your your fruit and vegetables? And they'll say, oh, when I go to the supermarket, or, we don't really eat that much vegetables. And then I would say, okay, well, if you buy it now, you'll have fruit and vegetables for the whole week. And then you don't have to think about it again. And then obviously we tell them about our online shop and how it can simplify their lives if they do a weekly order.
And I think, you know, it's create the action, and in other words, you know, and in the end get the person to fork out money. But, you know, techniques that don't work, I feel, is, you know, you've got within the next 10 minutes, this deal is going to close, you know. Some people
I don't just, like that because it like feels it. Manipulation to me.
You know. So rather, you know, something like with where you sort of take the reverse stance and say, all right, once we've sold out 90%, whatever the rest is at R5, and that is quite a stimulus to lead to action. So. Lizette, thank you very much for your time. It was lovely, lovely speaking to you.
It was a great pleasure.
And looking forward to next week. Next week, we're going to have some tips for urban farmers around how do you position your produce, how do you, what is the quality aspects that you should look at, packaging, some of those aspects. And we really appreciate your input on that. So see you next week.
Oh, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, Chris Late signing out. And till next week, keep on farming. Thank you very much for listening. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, click the link on Facebook where you can review us and tell us what content you'd like. We aim to bring you the very best in content. Thank you very much. This is Chris Late signing out. Until next time, keep farming.